Strange.
Invisible.
Energy.
Voice.
Guider.
Powerful.
Mysterious.
Waiting.
Present.
Holy.
Feeling.
Comforter.
Advocate.
Flame.
Witness.
Revealer.
Sealer.
Peacemaker.
Shield.
Ghost.
Dreamlike.
Breath.
Manifestation.
Tranquil.
Constant.
Dove.
Abstract.
Enigmatic.
Loving.
Supernatural.
Eternal.
Shapeless.
Invited.
Sacred.
Elevated.
God.
Well, good morning, Overflow Church. How are you doing this morning? Oh my goodness, I am overwhelmed by God's grace and mercy to this church. I'm so excited for this season here. I shared this at our huddle, and I shared this in first service. But so often, like, we celebrate these like mountaintop moments, right? When like things happened, and we forget how we actually got here. And this, what we're living in now is the faithfulness of two people, Brian and Cindy Bennett, which heard the voice of the Lord, and they stepped out in faith, and they planted a church that was supposed to be a bridge between two communities that had historical pains and hurts and hang-ups. And we're here today because from the seed that was planted and many that came and watered, it was God that brought increase. And so we get to stand on so many people's faithfulness. And so I just want to thank God for this. I don't want to bypass what the Lord has been doing and is doing in our community. Amen? Amen. With that being said, I want to do a really quick shout out to a couple of folks which are here. I have some family from out of town. My in-laws are here from Buffalo, New York. And my parents here. Many of you guys have been praying for my dad. As you know, he was battling cancer. I want to tell you that our God still heals. He is officially cancer-free. And so we want to... Hey, we're going to start off a series for the next couple of months around this big idea, the person who is the Holy Spirit. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 26, verses 15 through 26, I'm sorry. It is our tradition here at Overflow Church that we stand for the reading of God's Word. Would you mind standing with me for the reading of God's Word? And as we stand, I'm going to read aloud what the Word of God says. And as a response, after I'm done, you're going to respond back when I say, this is the Word of the Lord. You're going to say, thanks be to God, as an active participation of what the Lord is doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. And I will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments that we have together. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we continue to celebrate what you've been doing in the life of Overflow Church. I pray now, Father, that the words that I speak would be of you, that they wouldn't be just more head knowledge for us to know ideas about you, but they would move from head to heart, heart to hands and feet, calling us to respond how you desire in this season. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. This idea of the Holy Spirit, honestly, for whatever reason, has become one that can stir up great emotion with joy or can stir up a lot of fear. I know that probably as I said it out loud, some of you were like, oh, your thoughts started scrambling all over the place, right? Like, what does that mean? I bet you some of you had images that started popping in your head as you realized that we're about to talk about the Holy Spirit. I put up a couple of pictures here, and I wonder if we look, if some of you kind of thought this is what's happening, right? When you think about the Holy Spirit, like somebody shouting, right? Looks like the force is being awakened in the pastor. Something's happened to the guy who's laying there. I don't know if his head is in the wrong place, his feet. Like, is that what the Holy Spirit does to individuals? You know what I mean? For some of you, I bet you probably thought something more like this. It is holy, right? Tongues of fire, Acts chapter 2. There's some type of reverentness that we have as the Holy Spirit descends upon us. The power of the Spirit is at work in us. Some of you have this fondness of the Holy Spirit. You're desperate to experience the Holy Spirit more. Some of you probably have this theological idea of the Holy Spirit, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And so we don't know what to do with that. We think that we understand. The math kind of feels like weird on that. And I definitely, if I was asked to explain it, right? If you're in this room, you're probably like, I don't know how to explain it. But I know it's there. So what happens if you're in that third category? This is what you do. Because I don't know how to explain it away, because I don't understand what's probably taking place right there, I kind of scoot the Holy Spirit into the Bible, into the pages of Scripture, so that I don't have to deal with it. So then my Holy Trinity moves from Father, Son, Holy Spirit to Father, Son, and Holy Bible, right? I operate in a way that the Spirit isn't really at work or doing anything. I know he's there. I know theologically I'm supposed to understand that, but I really don't. And so it feels a little messy. And again, across this room, we probably have people all sides of this space. And so the question for us, the one of the most important persons in all of Scripture, what do we do with him? How do we respond to him? How do we engage with the Spirit? What is his job? What is his work in our lives as believers? And today, I want to introduce to us this topic for the first time as the disciples who had an idea, kind of, but Jesus really is here, is introducing to them who the Spirit is. Let me give you a little bit of context of this passage that we just read as we were standing. This is found in the Gospel of John. John here is about is giving us this picture of Jesus the night before he's about to be crucified, as he is in what we call the upper room with a couple of his fewest friends, his closest disciples, and he is telling them that he's about to leave them, that he's about to go away. Now, I want you to understand something. They've been following Jesus. They've known Jesus now for about 3.5 years. They've walked with Jesus. They've seen him do miracles. They've laughed with him. He's come into their homes, and this is their Messiah. They had this belief that the Messiah would come.
And so you got to feel what's probably happening in this space. In fact, most scholars title these five chapters here from chapter 13 on, the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus telling them about what is about to take place. And you can probably feel the emotions as this friend of theirs is saying, yeah, I'm about to leave you. Where are you going, Jesus? Why are you going? Why would you leave us? You just got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's got to be this feeling and emotion that's going through them, this confusion. But then he says these words to them. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you, watch this word, as orphans. I will send you a helper. In the Greek, that word helper is the word paraclete. And it's a word that's kind of dynamic because it's filled with all types of different meanings in there. It could mean a helper. It could mean advocate, like in a law court situation. It could mean guide, one that comes alongside to guide you from one place to the other. And Jesus says to them, I will leave you a helper. Already, if you're following along in the scriptures and if you're taking notes, this is the first thing that should be jumping off the page. Jesus is not saying he's going to leave to them the Force like in Force Awakens. He's leaving them a personal being, one that will literally walk beside them. The Holy Spirit is personal, not impersonal. Are you with me? He's not a thing. He's not an it. He's a person active in the Godhead. And Jesus says, I leave you the Holy Spirit, an advocate, the paraclete, the scriptures tell us. Now, this matters, once again, because here it is. For all of us, we're probably like, man, it would have been nice to have Jesus here personally with us. And the disciples literally experienced it. They experienced what Jesus did in their life. And in fact, Jesus in this text is the first paraclete. How do we know that? Jump with me really quickly to verse 16. Again, Jesus says these words, and I will ask the Father and he will give you, here it is, another paraclete, another advocate. So Jesus in this text is communicating there was one before him. I'm the first paraclete. I'm the first advocate. But I'm going to give you another one that I've been helping you to this moment. I've been helping you understand right and wrong. I have been teaching you God's commands. I've been teaching you God's laws. But there's one that is coming that will continue my work. I can't wait till next week. We're going to talk about in chapter 16 where Jesus says it's actually better for me that I would leave so that you can have this advocate, that you can have the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been pastoring for a little while, and most people, whenever I sit in the office with them, they'll say things like this, man, it would have been great if Jesus was just here with us. Man, like, I wouldn't have to look down at my bracelet and say, when I'm about to do something crazy and be like, what would Jesus do? Jesus would just pop up like, ah, you know, and say, stop doing that. You know what I mean? Like, there's an aspect of that that we wish would happen. But actually, the Gospels tell us that that actually wouldn't work. If you read the Gospels over and over again, Jesus was there with his disciples and they were acting buck wild, weren't they? In fact, when Jesus was about to be crucified in the garden, the Bible tells us that his closest friends were literally falling asleep as he's praying, but they had physically Jesus there. And when the guards and the soldiers came, they ran away. The Bible tells us in all four Gospels that Jesus is actively at work in the community and people are seeing him do marvelous wonders. Like, they're seeing him feed over 5,000 people with a couple of fish and some breadsticks. And they still don't know what to do with him. And they think that he's crazy. So the Gospels tell us that something is disconnected here, right, with the personal being, the incarnation, which is Jesus, that there's something that is more that can help us understand who Jesus is, more than Jesus physically himself. And Jesus says, I am sending you someone who will help you get that. This is the promise that somehow that you will experience Jesus, fully God, fully a man, 100 times more if he leaves and you engage with the Holy Spirit than you would if you're standing presently right in front of you. That should blow our minds. That should challenge the way we think. What are we talking about here? That Jesus wants to engage us in all new way, in a more real way than his physical presence. I know that's weird, but keep walking with me. And I believe the reason why Jesus says that is because the Holy Spirit will continue Jesus's work. I think that's the reason why Jesus is communicating this. That he needs his work to spread beyond the physical limits, right, that we have as human beings. But remember, Jesus is fully man and fully God. So what is this work that Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will do, has been doing, right? It's to guide us in truth and help us to live the way God intended for us to live. Here's the truth. Sin, what sin is really simple. Sin is us turning away from God, choosing our own decision, choosing to make, to define what right and wrong is in our own lives. And so Jesus says, I want to give you truth. I want to teach you what it looks like to follow God the right way. And the reason why that matters in today's day and time is because, man, we have all these other things that are outside in the world that are competing ideas telling us that they are truth. That they're pulling at our souls, that they're trying to get us to believe in their picture, right? Like, if we do this, we'll be better. If I take this pill, I'll lose weight. If I take this pill, I'll gain weight. If I take this job, I'll be happy. If I move to this place, I'll be happy. Happiness is found in sex. Happiness is found in drugs. Happiness is found in relationships. That you're not complete unless you have someone. If you want someone to complete you, then you're also not complete. And I'm over here trying to figure out, with all of these truths and all these things pulling me, how do I do the common core math just to get to the answer, right? Like, I'm confused. Like, I'm being pulled in every direction trying to figure out what is truth. But here's the promise, that Jesus came to give us truth. In fact, he says he is the truth and the life. And so here's Jesus, who is this advocate, right? He's saying, like, I have come to give you truth, but in this world where it feels like truth is relative and all these things are pulling at us, you can live in this world feeling frustrated. How many of you felt frustrated as terror rang through these last couple of weeks of people being murdered in cold blood? How many of you felt that fear rippling through your heart? And now you have these competing ideas which are coming on your Facebook and all this, and say, this is true, and this is true, and this is true. And all of a sudden you're being split apart. This is what I'm talking about. That these things that are pulling at us, these lies that want to turn us away from Jesus. And we get frustrated. And can I be honest with you? Some of these things that I've named here, right, these truths that kind of pull at the heart, I can be honest with you, as a pastor, I found myself at times thinking, like, that may be more true than what God has for me. All right? That may be more true. So that may be more satisfying. That may fill whatever empty hole that is happening in here. And I start to believe the lie because I think it's a truth. But yet, here is Jesus. He gives us truth. He is this advocate, and he desires us to fill whatever this emptiness inside of us is exhausting us to the uttermost. And he desires for us to live a life of flourishing, a life of hope, a life filled to the brim. And I can tell you, as a follower of Jesus, someone who has been walking along with Jesus for over 30 years of my life, that when I started following Jesus, I found myself stumbling and falling. But the promise of the Spirit is this, that the Spirit will dwell with us, that the Holy Spirit actually will live with us and in us. That's a big deal. that I might not be perfect, but I'm far from where I started 30 years ago. That's the promise of the Spirit. That the Spirit is somehow working things in my life for my good and for my flourishing. That when I need help, the Holy Spirit is my helper. That when I need a guide, the Holy Spirit is my guide. When I need a comfort, the Holy Spirit is my comfort. When I am in sorrow, the promise is that the Holy Spirit, which is literally dwelling in me, the power and presence of the Spirit will actually continue to respond and say, do you remember God's word that weeping may endure for this moment, but remember that joy comes in the morning. That is the power that the Spirit does in my life, that I have peace in the midst of storms. And that when the world looks like it's burning all around, I can stand strong because the Spirit is literally empowering me. This is the promise that the scriptures are saying, that Jesus says, I will give you an advocate. One that will literally dwell in you. I remember a couple of years ago, I was doing a devotional and I stumbled upon a scripture that blew my mind. I'd read it before, and it blew my mind, and it's that passage that says, don't you know that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is in you? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that messed me up. I went to my wife. I said, Janie, listen, I need you to hear me. I was studying the scriptures, and this thing hit me in a new way, that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is in me. She was like, come on, honey, that's Jesus. 5 minutes later, I came back. I said, hey, baby, listen. I don't know if you heard me, but the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, she's like, yes. This continued for like 2 weeks straight. Like, I'm talking about, it shook me to my core that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead resides in us. I don't think you understand that. When Jesus is saying that he's our helper, he's our advocate, this is what it means. Would you turn with me really quickly to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27? Let me give you some context here. Paul is in this passage, is talking to the church at Rome, this divided community, and he's trying to tell them about how the work of the Spirit is bringing them, Jew and Gentile, together. And he's telling about what the fullness of the covenant promise in Jesus is. And this is what he says in verse 26. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is what it means. When you are a follower of Jesus and you are filled with the Spirit, right? As soon as you say, Jesus, I'm one to follow you, you're literally filled with the Spirit. And you're going through life and you fall on those mistakes and you start to do things maybe that's not in accordance to God's will. When God wants to pour his righteous judgment that he should, because we are sinners in need of grace, the Holy Spirit says, hold on, Father. I have been working in Elijah's heart. And remember that you sealed him with the promise of what Jesus did on the cross. And so that he might be broken right now, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue working and guiding Elijah. And in the next couple of years, by the time that he ends his journey, he will be more like you than he is like himself right now. Literally, this idea of an advocate is this picture of standing in the law, in like a law court. God is judge and the Holy Spirit as your defender, saying, I'm with him. I am with her. I'm going to walk with her. That what I have started in them, I will see them to the end. That's what the Spirit is doing when the Spirit is in us. That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, actually gives us the strength to stand for truth. To stand for truth. What is this truth? Here it is. Let's go back to John chapter 14. These two verses are actually connected to each other.
we know what the truth is to obey God, right? John 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So here it is. It looks like obeying God. This story has been there all the way since the Old Testament. Jesus boils down all of the law and all of the prophets into these two ideas. Love God, love your neighbor. Here's the problem. These other truths in the world try to take me away from loving God and loving neighbor. The story of the Bible is how human beings struggle, here it is, to love God and love your neighbor. Are you with me? Not Common Core math. Just walk with me real quick, okay? Somebody's like, a teacher is like, man, why is he hating on Common Core? I actually don't know. It's the best example I have. Okay, look at verse 26. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, what does he say? All things. So what has Jesus been doing with his disciples for 3.5 years? Teaching them how to love God, love their neighbor. And then he says, I'm going to send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, which will teach you all things, how to do what? Love God, love your neighbor. I want you to watch this. The Holy Spirit comes through our love and our obedience. So when we love God and we love our neighbor and we do that rightly, we're actually obeying the Spirit. I don't think you caught me. If the command is to love God, love neighbor, if we can't do it by ourselves, then the Spirit does it. What work is it that we have to do? We actually have to sit and rest, because what the scripture is saying is that God demands that we would do what is right, love him and love our neighbor, and then he works on our behalf that we don't even have to do it in ourselves, that he sends the Spirit to turn that thing inside of us, right, that decides to go against God's will and operates in us so that we can love God and love neighbor. That means God starts it in us and he finishes it in us. That he actually gives us the power to do what? To love God and love our neighbor. That is the work of the Spirit. That's why Jesus says he will guide us in all truth. That the Spirit is at work, churning in us, creating in us, taking sandpaper to the rough edges, so that we can look more like Jesus. He is our advocate. He is our guide. Here's all we have to do, is to respond to the calling of the Lord. It is as if God's saying, if you say yes, I'll take care of the rest. I'll literally take care of the rest. So here's the question. Why is it that we fight against what the Spirit wants to do? Why is it that we fight against what the Spirit wants to do? What I love about the Holy Spirit is that he's not gonna come and try to make you do anything. But the Spirit works in gentle nudges. The one who's whispering, and even when you fail, we read it in Romans, the Spirit is advocating on your behalf. Lord, you love them. Lord, you care for them. Even when you get the picture wrong, all we have to do is trust the process, that you may not be where you want to be, but trust and believe that the Spirit will get you there one day. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so all we have to do is receive what the Spirit wants to do in your life. Here's my challenge for us this morning. I believe that revival is actually happening in our nation. This is what truly revival means, is that people's hearts are turning back to God. I think we've realized that there's these truths that try to claim like their actual truths are actually lies. We put our hope in people, whether it's leaders or political figures, we find that all that's all a lie. We put our hopes in jobs or money or resources, we find that's all a lie. One, we entered into this world. There's one who showed us what real life looks like. Jesus calls it an abundant life.
Abundant life is not more money than you can spend. Abundant life is not more property, more things. Abundant life is peace that passes understanding. It's the hope to know that there's one that is greater, that promises that there will be a day where there's no more death, no more tears. And that one has said, I will send a guide. I will send a helper so that you can have that eternal peace. I'm gonna ask this morning that we would just take a second to bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know what you've been wrestling with. I sense that some of us walked in this room, you were invited by a friend, you heard about this on social media or whatever it is. I wanna tell you that it's not a coincidence that you got here. I think the same Holy Spirit was pulling you here because he wanted to meet you here. In this room, I sense there's some of us which are dealing with great pain and worry. You might be sitting in this room feeling like, man, I'm not worthy. If anybody opened the door and saw the darkness that may be sitting in my heart, that I may not be the person that I claim on the outside. No one would truly love me. I want to tell you that's a lie, because there was one that loved you and he died on the cross for your sins. You might be hearing like, man, I've been following Jesus, but I have not been feeling like I've been connected to him. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you this morning. Whatever end of the spectrum you are in, I want to reassure you that God sees you, he loves you, and he has not left you as an orphan. Hallelujah. And so this is what we're going to do in these few seconds here. I'm just going to ask you just to confess with a whisper, Lord, here I am. Heal my heart. Let the power of the Holy Spirit well up inside of me. Give me peace. Would you say that right now, that prayer? If that's you, would you give me peace? Would you give me the hope that is found in you, Jesus? I don't have to carry this burden alone. The promise of the Spirit is that what he started in you, he will finish. Father, you hear these people under the sound of my voice. I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch them. They would come to know you and be known by you. In Jesus' name I pray.